Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, beginning at verse 14. For a long time, I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough place smooth. These things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, "You are my gods," will turn back into utter shame. Hear, you deaf. Look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant? And deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one committed to me? Blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. It pleased the Lord for the sake of His righteousness to make His law great and glorious. Today I want to begin to talk about, and I don't know how long we'll get, but about those words from verse 21, it pleased the Lord for the sake of His righteousness. It pleased the Lord for the sake of His righteousness. We live in a day in which increasingly people are going to see how desperately we need the hand of God to move among us. We have lived in a time when we have not desired the hand of God as a nation. We have not desired the hand of God as a church. Think about this for just a moment. How many people that actually go to church, and in America a lot of people go to church, But how many people that go to church on a given Sunday morning, and more people go to church than all the professional football games, basketball games, and baseball games added together on any given Sunday. But how many of the people that go to church come expecting to encounter the living God and have their lives changed forever because of what happens on a given Sunday? How often do we show up at church and we go, okay, yeah, you know, I'm going to be here. I hope it's a good message. But how often do we come to church saying, today is the day that God is going to work in my life in a way He's never worked before? I talked last week about the whole concept of expectancy. We do not expect from God. And God says, here's the case. Look at the charge He raises against His own people. Look at verse 18. He says, hear, you deaf. Look, you blind, and see. Oh, He's talking about the unsaved, right? He's talking about the God-haters, the unbelievers, the deniers, the atheists. No, He says, who is blind but my servant? And deaf like the messenger I send. Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? God says, here's the horrible situation we find ourselves in, that my people are blind and deaf. They don't see me, they don't hear me. Now that should not be the case. That should never be the case. Look with me at what the Word of God says. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 5. 4. But you, brothers, 1 Thessalonians 5:4, are not in darkness. What a statement. Paul writes and says to those who are God's people, you shouldn't be in darkness. So that this day should surprise you like a thief. Now we read over and over again in the Word of God that the coming of Christ will be like a thief in the night. Verse 2, if you go back up, says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It'll be unexpected. It'll come with surprise. The thief never dials ahead. Dan's here. Dan, have you ever had a person say, you know, I was robbed tonight, taking down the thing? The thief called ahead and said, hi, my name's Mike. I'll be your thief tonight. I'll be arriving between 10:30 and 11 o'clock. If you could have all the good stuff laid out for me, I would appreciate it very much. Thieves don't come with an announcement. They don't show up having made a reservation. But he says, that day will come while people are saying peace and safety. The world isn't going to understand. The world isn't going to see it. They're saying everything's okay. It's going good. Hey, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Do you know, 2,000 years ago, just like America today, Rome was the most powerful nation on earth. They were so powerful that they did something that no one else did. The city of Rome was so massive that the city of Rome, at the height of its time, had a population of almost 1 million people. Now, can you imagine a city of 1 million people? That's about a third of the size of Philadelphia, the greater Philadelphia area, with no road, no cars, no elevators, no high-rise buildings. Can you imagine how massive the city of Rome was to have numbered upward of 1 million people? But they had no wall for defense. They thought they were so secure and so safe because of the might of their empire that they never built a wall around Rome. And yet the day came when the Visigoths and the other barbarians charged over the hill, and there lay the city of Rome opened before them, and Rome was sacked and burned. They said peace and safety, but destruction came upon them. And the Bible says that's going to happen to people. It's going to happen as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the darkness or to the night. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. He says, we are not to be those who are asleep, not to be those who are blind, not to be those who are taken by surprise. And yet, the horrible thing that Isaiah chronicles, my people are blind, my people are deaf. They don't listen, they don't see. Look with me at the book of Revelation. Revelation Revelation chapters 2 and 3 have some of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. Revelation 2 and 3 have some of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. These are some of them. Revelation 3, beginning at 1. Revelation 3, 1. To the angel of the church at Sardis, Revelation 3, 1, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but are dead. Well, let me ask you, if your life was written on a piece of paper for the whole world to see, if your life was shown on a giant TV screen that followed you around, have you ever seen those things where the guys are walking around and they have minstrels behind them singing the songs about them as they go? If there were a set of minstrels following you around singing the truth of your life, would it be said that you have a reputation that is undeserved? He says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive but are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you. Now, Paul said we should know the time, but God writes to the church of Sardis and says, you're in danger of being blind and deaf. And Isaiah says, you're blind. You're blind. What a tragedy that God's people would be blind. Let me give you three things that blind us. The first is found in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 25. Matthew 23, verse 25. Now this is written, you know, we think, oh, the Pharisees, they were hypocrites, and they had become that. But remember, the Pharisees were the leaders of God's people. They weren't some pagans out there being sinful and idolatrous. They were people who thought they were right with God. And you know what? That's what everyone else thought too. If you were to go up to people when Jesus was saying these words and you said, what are the Pharisees like? They'd have said, wow, they're just so spiritual. Wow, I wish I could be like them. They know the Bible so well. They pray all the time. But Jesus said this. He said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence, blind Pharisees. You see, the first thing that will blind us is selfishness. Greed, self-indulgence, selfishness. Selfishness blinds us. And you know, it's interesting that everything about our society is geared towards selfishness. You deserve a break today. So get up and get away to McDonald's. Have it your way. Have it your way. At Burger King, have it your way. Our politicians ask us, vote for me, I'll make it better for you. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. I'll give you the other thing. And that's not one side. That's not another side. That's both sides. The only question is who does it more, not who does and who doesn't do it. Remember when John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your nation can do for you, but what you can do for your nation? Now it's, ask not what you can do for your nation, but what your nation can give to you. And kids, let me tell you, if you think that you're going to grow up in America and have everything that you've had as kids, that's not going to happen. You need to give your lives to serving Christ, because you know what? If you live for this world, it's going to come crashing down sooner or later. My daughter's talking about college debts. Some of you guys have borrowed for college. Many of you hold mortgages. But right now, as of yesterday, every one of us owed $40,000 just on the federal debt. Today it'll be $42,500. Now multiply that out by the number of people in your family and just figure out what kind of interest you're paying on that. Why have we run up this debt? We want everything. And we want it today. I remember the day when people started in a little house. Do you remember those days? If you're my age or so. Do you remember those days when you know, you got married and you bought a little house? You know, maybe a two-bedroom house. And you know, you worked on, my parents, they bought this, built this little tiny house. And then when I came to live with them, they added on a playroom, because they didn't have a playroom. They just had two bedrooms, a living room, and a kitchen in the house, four rooms in the house. They added on a playroom. And then when things got a little better in their life, they added on another. Do you remember when people used to do that? Now, what have you got to get for your first house? Four bedrooms, six baths, and four living rooms. And a three-car garage, and put a car. Hey, there's only two in this family, but we've got three cars. I was at a house that David, one of his friends lives at, took him to a birthday party there. And there were three people in the house that drove. There were three people in the house that drove. They had a three-car garage, and they had lifts in the garage. So you could drive cars up and jack them up and put them on lifts and drive another car under them. They had two of the bays of the garage had lifts, so they had five cars in the garage, and they had two cars that wouldn't fit in the garage that were parked out front. Three drivers and seven cars. Greed, self-indulgence, it blinds us. It blinds us. Second of all, worldliness. Worldly thinking. Thinking like this world blinds us. This world is blind. Look with me at the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. He, the Word, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. He, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. He, Jesus, was in the world. And though the world was made by Him, John 1:10, the world did not recognize Him. That's why, look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Look at what Romans chapter 12 says. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is, and I hate the NIV translation there. The NIV translation says, this is your spiritual act of worship. I love a more accurate or a more literal translation that says, this is your reasonable service. This is just what makes sense. When you understand the way the world is, living for Jesus Christ just makes sense. Because this world is going to be done in a few years. Years ago, anybody remember Phil Donahue? The first of the big talk show gab guys. With his silver hair. And he was always gotching people. And he'd bring these people on, he'd gotcha. And I remember he had Billy Graham on. Billy Graham was in Las Vegas, Nevada, having a crusade in Las Vegas. And Phil Donahue was up there and he goes, Billy, let's pretend I go to a service of yours tonight. Billy says, don't you pretend, you be there. Well, you've been saying for a long time that Jesus is coming soon, and he's still not here. What if Jesus doesn't come back for another 100 years? Billy said, that won't mean anything to you or I, Phil. We won't be alive in 100 years. And the day you die is the end of the world for you. Where will you be on that day? When you understand how short this life is, I'm getting ready for my birthday, which is coming up in a few months. It probably wouldn't, I wouldn't be thinking about it at this point since it's a few months away, but it is the big 5-0. And people say at 50 you're middle-aged. Well, I don't plan on being here at 100. So if that's middle-aged, if I make it to 70, well, that's only 20 years from now. I was thinking back. I was 33 when I came here. I was a young guy. Now I'm an old guy. Pretty soon I'm going to be an ancient guy. Then I'm going to be a 1 foot on the banana peel guy. Hey, that's the way life is. We try to ignore it, but it's true. Paul Newman died yesterday, 83. 10 years ago, he was racing cars. Oh, I feel young at 70-something. Didn't matter how young he felt at 70, 83 and he's dead. When we understand how short life is and how long eternity is, it's just reasonable to serve God. But look at verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. There is a translation that translates it this way, and I love this translation. It says, do not let the world pour you into its mold. Do not let the world pour you into its mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, worldly thinking, thinking like this world makes us blind. We don't see reality. The reason the church in America is so blind today is we have worldly thinking, selfish thinking. Here's the fourth thing. Unbelief. Unbelief makes us blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this age, and who is the god of this age? Satan. Could it be Satan? The god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. The god of this age. So wherever there is unbelief in our lives, blindness is allowed to come in. Wherever we doubt God's word, every time we say, I know God says, but. Well, I know it says, but. You know, I know what the Bible says, but God understands. We become blind because the Bible says that the God of this age blinds the minds of unbelievers. You say, well, that's talking about the unsaved directly. But as much as we share their unbelief, we share their blindness. And here's how bad it is. Look back with me at Isaiah. I'm only going to get through half of this. We're going to have to pick this up next week. I wanted to get to the good news because there is great news. I wanted to get to Isaiah chapter 42 verse 21 because that's where the good news is about what God's going to do. But we need to understand the bad news of where we're at before God does it, because see, this is the criteria for verse 21. And you can be looking at Isaiah 42, 21 all this week, and we're going to pick that up next week. But I want you to look at Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. Here's the description. Why is it that God's people are so blind? Why is it that we can't see? Why is it that we're deceived? Why is it that there's such blindness in the church? God lays the account to the door of the pastors. He says, Isaiah 56:10, Israel's watchmen are blind. What a tragedy! Can you imagine? Here's the natural. To understand the Bible, you always have to understand the natural before you can understand the supernatural. Can you imagine? Here's a city. It's got its nice wall. It's got the gates closed. The enemy's on the outside. We've post watchmen to make sure there's no attack. And we set blind men on the wall. Can you imagine blind men as watchmen on the wall? Who goes there? Israel's watchmen, not their physical watchmen. No fool, no one would be foolish enough. There isn't a fool foolish enough to put blind men as watchmen. There isn't an idiot in the world that would say, hey, here's a great idea. Well, maybe Congress. Other than that. But he's talking about spiritual truth. Israel's watchmen are blind. What an indictment against the spiritual leadership. They all lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs. Can you imagine having a guard dog that can't bark? Can't you see the mime dog? They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. And you know, I remember the day when people went into becoming ministers, becoming pastors, becoming spiritual leaders because they love the Lord. Now it's because it's a great get-rich-quick scheme. I remember 20-some years ago when I was in seminary, they would have a class on prayer and three or four people would show up. They would have a special seminar on prayer and a handful of people out of the 300 that attended the seminary would be there. But they would have a class on how to get the biggest compensation package from your church when you graduate, and every person would be there waiting. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. Each seeks his own gain. What an indictment against the pastors. But it's not a physical problem. Our problem isn't blind eyes or deaf ears. It's worse than that. And we're going to end here today. And then we're going to go to the good news of verse 21. But I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 22, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 42. Did I misspeak? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 20. Here's our problem as God's people. Here's our problem as God's people. And the wonderful news is that, you know, this passage doesn't end until it has 21 in it, because 21 is the good news. God's going to do something. But here's the tragic circumstances in which God moves. He says, "You have seen many things, but have paid no attention." You know, I was just absolutely livid when some of these politicians stood up there and started blaming everybody for this. They're blaming Wall Street, and they're blaming this, and they're blaming that. And then someone had the honesty to dig out the actual videotapes of these politicians a few years ago. There was Barney Frank, who's been blaming everybody on earth. And there's the actual thing with Ben Bernanke and the Fed chairman and the Secretary of Treasury sitting in front of Barney Frank at a House congressional meeting and saying, "Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are in serious trouble, and if we don't stop them from making these bad loans, we are going to have a catastrophe on our hands." That's what Ben Bernanke and the Secretary of Treasury told the House Oversight Committee in 2005. And Barney Frank sat there and said, "Shut your mouth. You're just an alarmist. You're trying to scare us. You don't want poor people to get good houses. Shut up and keep making these loans." And then turn around and say what he said. "You have seen many things but paid no attention." Now we've seen in the physical that people pay no attention, but you know what's the greater thing is? In the spiritual, people are paying no attention. When Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, because moths eat it and rust corrupts it," you know what our response has been? "Hey, we've got new fibers. Moths don't eat it. We don't have to worry anymore. Rust? Hey, we have this stuff called stainless steel. It don't rust. What are you going to do about that, God?" "You have seen many things and have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing." Let me ask you, how many people have you talked to about eternal issues and you've talked till you're blue in the face and they haven't heard a word you've said? How many people are there that name the name of Christ that on that day, just like Jesus said in Matthew 7, are going to say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, that, and the other thing?" And Jesus is going to say, "I never knew you." You saw it, but you didn't pay attention. You heard it, but it didn't make an impact. Let me ask you, are you ready for God to move today? Because here's the good news, and we're going to look at it in great detail next week. I was hoping to have the time. We've run very late. I wanted to do it all at once, but we've got to be ready for the kids in just a couple minutes. Look at verse 21. It pleased the Lord for the sake of His righteousness to make His law great and glorious. At a time when people wouldn't listen, at a time when eyes were blind, at a time when preachers didn't get it, at a time when God's people were deaf and blind, at a time when the world was going in the wrong direction, God says, at that very time, it pleased the Lord for the sake of His own righteousness. Are you ready for God to move? Because you know what? This is the very time that God moves. When God's people are deaf, when God's people are blind, when things are going in the wrong direction, it is then that God steps in. Someone said that revival is when God gets sick and tired of His people misrepresenting Him and shows up to represent Himself. And the question is, are we ready for God to move? Are we seeking for God to move? Let's bow together. Oh God, You have described our nation and our time to a T. You have given us an exact description of who we are. And yet You have not left us without hope, because You have said in that very time, it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord for the sake of His righteousness to make His law great and glorious. Lord, at the very time when no one would move for You, no one would listen to You, no one would see what You were doing, at that very time You chose to do something glorious Yourself. Lord, our great hope. Lord, this is not something new. 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, this church took a vote. And we've taken that vote and ratified it again and again, that we would seek You, that You were the hope for our future. And we've had a description today of where we're at financially. Lord, You've said at the very time when all was looked dark, when blindness covered the land, in that very time that You would move. So Lord, I pray that we would get ourselves right with You, ready for You to move in us, so that we could be the recipients of when You rise up for the sake of Your righteousness and make Your law great and glorious. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, so that we are not blinded, but are instead ready for You to move in a mighty and powerful way in our nation. Lord, I think that 150 years ago next month was the last time that You did anything nationally in America. 150 years ago next month was the last national movement of Your Holy Spirit. Before that, there had never been a time in American history when we had gone more than 25 years without a national revival. But Lord, we've been 150 years now without a national movement of Your Spirit. May You bring about a change in our hearts, even if it be through tough times, so that we return to being Your nation. Lord, I pray that You would open our blind eyes, that You would unstop our deaf ears, and help us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.